Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
I want you to hear what Jeremiah is saying, that God has for you plans for welfare, for peace, and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Jeremiah by exploring Jeremiah 29. We're going to go deeper into these beloved verses and gain a better understanding of the context and the promises of God for His ancient people and our lives today. So let's join Pastor John Monroe as we explore plans of a future and a hope.
When I ask people if they have a favorite verse, a very common one is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's in the passage we're looking at today as we continue reading and reflecting on the book of Jeremiah. What's the verse? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." I well understand why this is a favorite verse of many and often quoted. But today we're going to dig a little deeper and see this verse in its context. Christians are indeed people of hope. We have a tremendous future. God does have plans for us, although we sometimes seem to think we're wiser than God and work out our own plans. So let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Well, in our series in the book of Jeremiah, we come to probably some of the best loved and best known verses in all of the book. I realize that Jeremiah is not the best known book in the Bible, but arguably the verses that we're going to look at particularly are well known to us. Some of you have these verses framed in your house. You may have them on the refrigerator. Some of you have memorized these verses, but I'd like us to stand and read them. I'm referring to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. So let's stand and read the word of God together. Read with me, please. "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Amen. Please be seated. Here are words of hope. Here are words for a future. All of us need hope. It's often said, without hope we die. According to Dante, over the gates of hell is this statement, "Abandon all hope, you who enter here." To live without hope is to be plunged into darkness and depression. Today we're going to learn that God has plans for us, a future and a hope. I don't know the future, but I do know the God who holds the future. And I do know that that God holds my hand. I've called this message Plans of a Future and a Hope. I want us, first of all, to say the obvious, which needs to be said, that the plans are God's, not ours. Now, we've got to think of the context here of the words that we have just read in Jeremiah chapter 29. Scripture is not a group of unrelated texts strung together. While an isolated verse on the calendar, a verse text to you can be helpful, the key to interpreting Scripture and understanding Scripture, the key principle of interpretation is context. You may recall when the devil was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, he quoted Scripture out of context, of course. And as often said, a text without a context is a pretext. That is, in understanding Scripture, as you read the Word of God, it is essential we interpret Scripture in the context. And therefore, in interpreting the verses that we have read here from Jeremiah chapter 29, we must understand the historical context. If you've been following these messages in Jeremiah, I trust you have some understanding of the context. Who is Jeremiah? Jeremiah is a prophet called by God. He's given a very tough assignment. He's told to go to the house of Judah and also to Israel and to preach a message of judgment, a message of warning, a message of repentance. Why is that necessary? Simply put, Israel has abandoned God. Israel has forgotten God. And so Jeremiah's message to the nation is a tough one. It is repent, or the Babylonians are going to destroy the temple in Jerusalem. If you don't repent, you're going to go into captivity. If you don't repent, if you don't return to the Lord, judgment is coming. But the nation do not listen. So in 597 BC, around 3,000 Jews are taken captive to Babylon. So as we come into chapter 29, which is our chapter this morning, we read in verse 1, to get the context, Jeremiah 29, verse 1. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. One of the challenges in reading in Jeremiah, it's not always chronological, but there were different captivities. And here, in one of the captivities, people, including some priests, including some so-called prophets, are taken exile into Babylon. And so Jeremiah is writing this letter to them, so that the words that we read are part of this letter. Others are going to be taken into captivity later as Nebuchadnezzar continues to put that grip hold around Jerusalem. And the final captivity and the destruction of the temple is going to occur in 586 BC. So here in chapter 29, the prophet Jeremiah is writing a letter to about 3,000 exiles in Babylon. He's still in Jerusalem. But in among the exiles are some false prophets. And they're saying that Babylon will soon fall. They're saying that the exiles will shortly return. And Jeremiah writes this letter warning the exiles not to listen to the false prophets. We'll read that in a minute in verses 8 and 9. The exiles, rather, should claim the promise of God that restoration will come. God has his plans. God has his future for Israel, and they need to seek the Lord to understand God's plans. God has his plans. How is Israel going to respond? How do you respond to God's plan? To live a God-centered life, we, as Israel had to do, have to acknowledge that the plans are God's, not ours. I realize we have our plans, we have our ambitions, we have our dreams, but as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to understand that our future, this hope that we want, this peace, this welfare, must be according to the will and the purposes of God. Notice verse 11 of Jeremiah 29 that we read. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Notice who has the plans. The plans are God's. God is saying to the people, I have plans for you. What were the plans? What was the future for the exiles of Babylon? Live a God-centered life with humble repentance. What's going to give them hope? After 70 years of captivity, God in his grace will bring them back to the promised land. We say, well, this is ancient history, John. Yes, it is ancient history, but it's more than that. It's the living word of God. And if we're going to live a God-centered life, if you're going to live a God-centered life, let me say the obvious. You must follow God's plans for you. So often we make our plans, we have our time schedule, we lay it out, and then we ask God to bless them. No, God knows the plans he has for you. Why do you continue to go against the will of God? Why do you continue in that sin? You know it's wrong, and yet you continue to do it. That's what Israel is doing. Don't resist God. We who are saved by the grace of God, and I think we know, I trust we know, that salvation is a gift, is an act of grace from God. That we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then that wonderful passage in Ephesians 2, as we saw last time, that Paul says that while we are saved entirely by grace, not of your works, that we are God's workmanship, that we are God's work of art, and that God has purposes for us, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So my goal in life is not to work out my own ideas and to ask God to bless them so that life will be comfortable for me. No, our goal in life rather is, as we're going to learn, to seek the Lord so that God's plans become our plans. Follow God's plans for your life. Live for the Lord in the present, we're going to learn. These exiles in Babylon, how are they going to live? They're to live for God in the present. They are to seek the Lord daily. Notice verse 12. Let me read again verse 11, Jeremiah 29. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you're sitting there and saying, how wonderful, but keep reading. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. What are the exiles to do? They're to call upon the Lord. What are they to do? They are to pray to the Lord. What are they to do? They're to seek the Lord with all of their heart, that he will be found by them. They're to do this, not part-time. They're to do it with all of their heart. They're to live a God-centered life, not with God at the periphery, not some kind of cultural religion, but rather this is to be the most important thing. This is the passion of their heart, that they are going to seek the Lord with all of their heart. Do you believe that God has plans and purposes for your life? I'm asking you personally. Do you? Do you believe that these plans and purposes that God has are better than your own ideas? To ask the question is to give the answer, isn't it? Well, are you calling upon the Lord? The Lord has plans and purposes for you. We are to call upon the Lord. This is how we begin the Christian life, isn't it? That if we, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How do I begin the Christian life? Is it by joining a church? Is it by getting baptized? Is it by taking communion? Is it trying to behave Christian's way the Christian behaved? No. It begins with calling upon the name of the Lord. It is a personal relationship with the Lord that I ask the Lord, the living Lord, to save me, to forgive my sins, that my trust will be in him. So I am to call on the name of the Lord. Have you done that? You say, well, I know this. I'm not asking just now what you know. I'm asking what you've done. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Jesus also said, seek first my kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Lord is saying to the people, you are to seek the Lord with all of your heart. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God in your life? Are you? Or are you looking to the scarecrow idols in your life for comfort, for happiness, for success? In Jeremiah chapter 45, a question is asked. It's a man who was a very successful businessman, a car dealer, and he had this verse on his desk. It's a question in Jeremiah 45, verse 5. The question is this: do you seek great things for yourself? Do you? Is that life for you? You are seeking some great thing for yourself. If the truth be known, you have put yourself at the center of your life. It's all about you, your plans, your purposes. Question, Jeremiah 45, verse 5, do you seek great things for yourself? Answer, seek them not. Oh, really? Does that mean I'm not to be ambitious? No, that's not what it means. It's not seeking great things for yourself, it's seeking great things for the kingdom of God, to seek the Lord. Here's how Isaiah, the great prophet, puts it so well in Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Do you get this? This calling, it's seeking. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the message of Isaiah. That's the message of Jeremiah. That's the message of the apostles. Turn from your wicked ways. It's called repentance. Stop living for yourself. Stop opposing God. Stop going against the commandments of God. Stop. Seek the Lord. You say, well, I'm not sure if he'll be found. Yes, he will. If you seek the Lord with all of your heart, he will be found of you. Scripture is telling us that. I am to forsake my evil ways and my thoughts, and I'm to return to the Lord, and he will have compassion. He will forgive. Think of the parable of the prodigal. Was there any question about forgiveness? No. There's no question about the father forgiving his son. The question was, would the son repent, and would he return to the father? Have you done that? You really sought the Lord? Or are you just sort of dabbling in the Christian faith, coming to church when you feel like it, wanting to have the veneer of Christianity in your life? Or is this central to your very existence? You know, perhaps you're not seeing God at work in your life because you have not forsaken your sinful ways. Wonderful, you say, to know that I'm going to heaven when I die, but have your sins been forgiven? Jesus saves us from our sins, not for us to continue in our sins. There's a turning from our sins, repentance, and a faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord daily. That's what we're to do, and he will be found by us. And the exiles, what were they to do when they were in Babylon? They were to live for God. He sent them. Let me read from chapter 29, verse 7. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles. This is what God is saying to the exiles in Babylon. Whom I have sent. God's behind it. Whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. What are they to do? Verse 5, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. Verse 7, but seek, this is surprising, isn't it? Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. How are they to live in Babylon? The answer may have surprised you. They're to build houses. They're to plant gardens. They're to take wives. They're to give their wives, their daughters in marriage. They are also to seek the welfare of Babylon. You say, John, it was a pagan city. Yes, it was. Idolatrous city. Yes, it was. But as they were there, they were to seek the welfare of Babylon, verse 7. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for its welfare, in its welfare, you will find your welfare. That's intriguing, isn't it? How are exiles to behave in exile? What are you to do, exiles? Seek the welfare of Babylon. Don't rebel against your captors. Don't be overcome by self-pity. Don't retreat into your little isolated cocoon. No, be a responsible citizen in Babylon. Live for the Lord in the present. Get involved. Seek the welfare of Babylon. What are you saying? I'm saying this. We certainly should think of the future. But as the people of God, we are to live for God in the present where we are. God's will for you today is that you do everything to the glory of God, whatever you do. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whatever I do, even in my eating and drinking, even in the trivial things of life, I'm to do all to the glory of God. That's how I am to live. Wherever you are, however difficult the situation, you are to live for God. You're looking to the future. This is intriguing, isn't it? We sometimes find people who say, well, I'm going to be a missionary in 5 or 6 years in Timbuktu, and I believe God has called me. When that's wonderful. The question is, what are you doing today? Oh, well, not really. I'm just kind of, you know, just kind of getting myself together. No, that's not how we're to live. Did you see the new report? This is a very sad report in our country about the difficulty the U.S. military is experiencing in enlisting young people. 77% of young people in America are ineligible to serve in the military. Do you hear me? 77% of our young people are disqualified, according to the Department of Defense, due to a lack of physical fitness, low test scores, criminal records, including drug use and so on. Over three quarters of our young people are not eligible to serve in the military. Now, you say, I've got no intentions of serving in the military. That's not my point. My point is this. If you're a young man, a young woman, and you are planning to serve in the military in the future, get in shape today, physically, academically, socially, and spiritually today. Be faithful to the Lord today. Live for the glory of God today, where you are, as followers of Jesus Christ. In the most difficult of circumstances, we're not to retreat, we're to stand firm, and we're to live for God. And we are, I think some of us are forgetting this in our society today, we're to seek the welfare of the community where we live.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message titled, Plans of a Future and a Hope. To go along with our brand new series, we're excited to offer you John's latest booklet titled, When a Nation Forgets God. It will help you further explore the themes and lessons we're uncovering from the book of Jeremiah. As a prophet, Jeremiah was called to deliver a difficult message of repentance and judgment to the nation of Israel. But all was not lost. This is such an important study because there are so many striking parallels to our own society and our lives today. With this encouraging and helpful new resource, you'll be better prepared to deal with questions and issues which are vital to our spiritual lives. So get your free copy of this brand new booklet titled, When a Nation Forgets God, by mail or download when you visit us online at theverdict.org. And as we continue working to bring you these relevant Bible lessons and resources, we invite you to help us reach more listeners by supporting The Verdict's gospel outreach with a donation of any amount. Your support will help us share the relevant truth of God's Word with new listeners in your community and around the world. You can easily give today by visiting theverdict.org or by calling us at 833-551-2231. The Verdict is a ministry of Calvary Church in South Charlotte. We're located on the corner of Highway 51 and Ray Road, and we'd love to welcome you for worship this Sunday. For more details, just go to theverdict.org. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you have plans for your life? Are you a person of hope? What about your future? I know many of us like to make plans, but God is at the center of your plans. Is He? I'm praying that you will surrender to the Lord Jesus, receive Him as your Savior, and allow Him to direct your life. May you live a God-centered life where you do not lean on your own understanding, but commit your ways to the Lord. That's the path of hope, the path to the future, a path of well-being.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.